former NHL netminder, now analyst for The Wall. Joins us, Mike. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Well, Mike, I'm doing great. And it's interesting. You look at their offense is great, 13 goals. Their shooting percentage is through the roof in the last two games with 8 goals and only 37 shots. But let's start with the goaltender and Devan Dubnyk, who's had some pretty busy nights there when his team's been outshot by 14 and 16 shots, yet he still managed to pick up a shutout in both games.
Yeah, he's played well. The Wild have had one period in those games where they've given up a really lopsided number in shots. The good thing is the scoring chances, as the coaches rate them, weren't as high. I mean, they were only giving up 3 or 4 scoring chances, even if they were giving up 15, 16 shots. So they certainly don't want to give up that many shots in a period, but there was some good protection. Dubnyk played really well when he needed to. And, it's been a really interesting run here with 3 in a row.
Now, looking at the Minnesota Wild, they had the coaching change. What have you noticed as the biggest difference in their team play under Boudreau?
I think they're on the puck quite a bit. They seem to get it back quicker. I'd look at all the things when you talk about the scoring and you talk about the puck possession and stuff like that. You know, they're not doing anything that extraordinary. They've had some good fortune as well, faced a lot of backup goaltenders or faced a couple teams who, you know, basically have lost both their goaltenders. And so, you know, they've run into some good situations that way, and they've had some timely scoring. The one number that's really been interesting is the depth in scoring. I think they're at 17, maybe 18 different scorers now. I mean, that's pretty good. Eventually everybody on the team, you know, will get a goal here or there or whatever over the season. But to have it happen this quick means that if one line's not going, another one's scoring, and you even got your third and fourth line scoring as well. So I just think it's fairly balanced, and that's one thing that's I think helped them win games.
Mike, on defense, I've noticed, you know, they've got a lot of young defensemen. Barring a trade between now and the expansion draft, they're likely going to have to expose a really good defenseman in the expansion draft. And I've kind of been surprised by who's been a healthy scratch at different times this year. Talk about the competitiveness just amongst ice time for their defenders right now.
Well, yeah, they do have. They knew they were coming in with depth on the blue line. Had a couple of guys banged up here and there. Spurgeon was banged up. He's back. Scandella's still out with an injury. But, there's going to be some competition for ice time on the blue line. And it's also going to get spread around a bit. They're trying to save Ryan Suter a little bit throughout the year here so that come March and April, he's not averaging 29 minutes a game. So there's a lot of factors there. But right now they're rolling through Christian Follin. He stepped up and played really well this year, and so that fact makes them deeper. Crosser stepped in, even though he was scratched for a while there. He stepped in and played well. We had a couple injuries, so you know it's been a good blue line. It has been for a few years, and it's just continuing to get more and more mature because these guys have played together now for quite some time. So it's a group that's growing together.
And they're a group that they go, unlike a lot of teams, with two defensemen on both power play units. Suter's 323, Dumba's 307. You had Spurgeon at 243. He goes down with injury, and then Mike Riley jumps in, and he's playing 3 minutes a night on the power play. Suter's obviously their go-to guy, but you know, between Dumba and Riley, Scandella and Spurgeon, which one of those four do you think's the best special, like, power play defenseman out of those four?
Spurgeon. Did you say Dumba, Riley, Spurgeon? Are those three? Who else did you say?
And Scandella.
Well, it's Spurgeon for sure. I mean, he has that right shot. He actually, you know, he finds himself on the power play a lot. Scandella hasn't played a lot of power play. They put him there this year a little bit because he's got a heavy shot. They gave him a bit of a try. Mike Riley is not here right now, so he had some time on there earlier on, and now he's in Iowa. But then Dumba, he's still, you know, again, he's finding a good spot there as well. He's got the heavy shot. So it's, it's really, for me, Spurgeon is a veteran guy. He's a smart hockey player. He's very heads up, mobile defenseman. So that's what I like about him. But every once in a while, when you see Dumba wind up with that big howitzer, it's great to see that with the man advantage too. So, but if you're going to give me an all around score for somebody, it's going to be Spurgeon.
Okay. Now, speaking of Matt Dumba, smaller guy who's very aggressive, can be physical. He's playing the second most minutes, and I know Spurgeon's hurt, so that is obviously a big reason why. But he's averaging 22 minutes a night this season, Mike. Where have you seen the best or biggest improvement in his overall game?
Well, I think, first of all, one of the reasons his minutes are up is he's paired up with Ryan Suter. So that's that'll drag you along just in that light. And he's playing some of the power play as well. He actually didn't start out that great. He was a little erratic. Bruce Boudreau felt he was trying to do too much instead of just playing defense and moving the puck and whatnot. And so actually he was scheduled to be scratched one night, and it just so happened that Scandella, I think, got sick that night, and so Dumba made it back into the lineup. And so it was close enough call to really light a spark under him. Ever since then, and it's probably been four or five games now, he's been terrific. I mean, he's moved the puck well. He hasn't got himself in trouble. Usually when Dumba gets himself in trouble, it's because he's playing a little too aggressive, or he's jumping in the play at inappropriate times or whatnot. But his game is starting to come together really well in every area. So that's why his minutes are likely to be up a little bit.
The Wild, their offense, you mentioned they've taken advantage of teams with, backup goalies or in some cases their third string goalie. And the last two games, like when you score four goals on only 15 shots, I'm not sure your offense is that great of sharpshooters. It's maybe you've just had some bad defense on the other side, and specifically in Dallas. But, Dallas and Buffalo, and you look at this Wild team outscoring the opposition 13-0. Is their offense better than they expected, or was it just a case of some shoddy goaltending on the opposition?
I wouldn't say shoddy goaltending, but when you're running into another team's second or third goaltender, sometimes you may catch one, maybe two goals that can sneak by. But for the most part, I think the real reason is that the Wild, when you look at their third and fourth lines, those aren't your prototypical third and fourth lines. I mean, you got guys like Pominville playing on the third line. You got guys like Zucker playing on the fourth line. And so they have some speed. They have some scoring all the way up and down the lineup. So when, there's been a few games where the top two lines haven't done it. It's been the Wild third and fourth line taking advantage of the opponent's lower lines when they match up. So, it's just taking advantage of certain areas of the game with some of their depth. They've had good games out of guys like Eric Staal. They've had good games out of players up and down the lineup. Koivu Granlund has been together all year, and they connect really well. So there's been some real positives here. And now they're running into injury problems. Hala's been out. He should be out another week or more. Parisi's week to week. So they're starting to get banged up a little bit here, and that's where you'll really see the test in where the depth of your lineup is.
Mike Greenley, analyst for the Minnesota Wild. Join us. Wild's sitting one point back of the Edmonton Oilers right now. Joel Eriksson-Ek, who is the 20th pick in the 2015 draft, he's in. He's got 5 points in five games, two goals and three assists, and seems like he's got a cannon of a shot. How has he looked since he's come in the lineup?
For a 19-year-old, he doesn't look out of place, and that's something that when we all see 18, 19-year-old step in like that, you immediately see there's a little gap in their defensive play or where they should be on the ice. Sometimes they look lost out there. Not this kid. He's a pretty confident kid, but he's also just very sound when it comes to just playing the game. If he had 0 points, I think still coaches and management, maybe not so much the fans or media, but coaches would still be saying, yep, this kid's certainly a good player, because he does a lot of good things everywhere on the ice. It's not just the points that he's gotten, although those have been good too. it's just he's just a very good all-around player. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Wild have to handle him. I mean, if the Wild have injuries this year and he stays up here, great. I don't think they're concerned with a 10-game limit or burning a year of his contract. I think they just want him to play. And so if he's up here and he's playing and he's contributing and he's learning, terrific. But if his minutes drop or if he finds himself out of the lineup here or there for whatever reason, then I think Iowa's the best place for him to get some big minutes. But he's been great to watch. He's not flashy. He kind of just does his job, but he does it well in both ends of the ice.
Mike, one final one for you. You look at the Wild last year, and it just kind of snuck into the playoffs with the 87 points. Overall, do you feel their team is that much better than last season? And if so, is there one or two areas you feel overall they're better?
Well, I think the defensive core is still good. So that's something that, I mean, I don't know, maybe you want to call that par, but I think every time you have a core like that that plays another year together, that means that you're going to be better. So, give the defensive core another little tick, if you want, in the upward direction. I think Eric Staal has been. I wouldn't say I wasn't a fan of the situation, but whenever people are saying looking for a guy to recapture his, days when he would put the puck in the net, whenever you hear talk like that, I get a little nervous because it's not easy to do. But when I looked at the fact that he was coming off of a team that really, really wasn't in the cycle that the Minnesota Wild are right now, I knew that he would get more scoring support and more support everywhere else. And so his game's really come in and been great. I like Eric Staal's game. He's grittier than I thought. He's faster than I thought. So that's a definite positive. And then, like I told you earlier, the depth of the lineup really looks interesting. Just when you get a guy like Eriksson Ekta steps in and is a factor, and then when you get a guy like Jason Zucker who can score and skate and do a lot of things up on your or down on your fourth line, and the depth of your lineup scoring like it is, that is good. The only thing is time will tell, right? I mean, over the course of time, is this going to be the same team or are they going to be better? But right now, they're finding a way.
As always, Mike, we appreciate your time. Have a great Halloween. We'll talk to you soon.
To you as well.